Okay, the Torah should be the English Master of Geshem and Rabbi Leib. This week, Parsha Tetzaveh, Parsha Zohar, and the lead to Purim. So, Beis Hashem will try and do justice as was advertised to Purim. And because it's on the Parsha, so we'll say a vot on Parsha Tetzaveh as well. The Beis HaLevi points out that just after Shishi, we're told about the Chiyuv of Aaron HaKohen of Klal Yisrael to bring a Korban Tomid, Baboiker, Uba'erev, to bring two Korbanos Tomid every single day. And we know about that mitzvah. Some are saying Korbanos every morning. Some people have the meaning to say by Mincha as well. We lane it every Rosh Chodesh. So we know that the Pasuk says, Es HaKeves Echod Ta'aseh Baboiker, Ve'es HaKeves HaSheini Ta'aseh Beinu Arboim. And why does it say Es HaKeves Echod Ta'aseh Baboiker, Ve'es HaKeves HaSheini Ta'aseh Beinu Arboim? It's to tell us that a yisoid, that sometimes I would only bring one korban tomid, for example, and they're not ma'akav one another. For example, if let's say for whatever reason Klal Yisrael were unable to bring the korban tomid one morning, we don't say because he never brought the morning one, you don't bring the afternoon one. We say no, you still bring the afternoon one. It's independent, even though it's part of the korban tomid process. Of the fact that it's Tomid Baboika Ba'erev, if you don't bring it in the morning, you can still bring it in the evening. And vice versa, even if I know that for some reason I've only got one and I'm not going to be able to get hold of another one, and this is going to be the only one for today, I still am makrav it in the morning, it's Akeves Echod, even if it's only one, Ta'aseh Baboika, you do it in the morning. So the Beis HaLevi, that it's interesting that in our parasha, the Torah tells us, Es Hakeves Ha Echod Ta'aseh Baboika, Es Hakeves Hasheini Ta'aseh Baboika, Ta'aseh Baboika. That you can't make that same diuk over here, there's a keves echod, that sometimes you'll only have a keves echod. It seems to be over here that no, that diuk doesn't apply. It says the Beis HaLevi, the reason for that is because this was the very first. The very first time, the very first day that a korban tomid was going to be brought. And although it may be that later on, throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, there may be circumstances where one would be unable to bring, or one wouldn't be certain that one would be able to bring a second one on that day, or one hadn't managed to bring the earlier one early on in the day, we still bring the other one. On the first day, it's Ma'akev. When we start the Avodah, then it has to be Vishlemus. Always the beginning of Avodah, the Haskhola, has to be a Dov of Vishlemus. One other beautiful vort that Ramesha Feinstein says in towards the end of the parasha, in Perek Lamed, when he's talking about the Ketores. So the Pasuk says, about setting up the different kingdom of the oil moed, venosato, vasiso, esabadim, atishit, vitsviso, esumzob, you put the, venosato, silipnea, parechas, asharino, idus, talking about putting the mizbeach and the shulchan and the menorah, vihiktirolov, aroin, ketores, samim, baboike, baboike, behitivos, aniros, yaktireno. And also we know this from Saint Carbonus every day that we are mativ deneros, or at the time of Hatovas Haneros, that is when the Ketores is brought. And why is that the case? Asks Ramosha in Igros Moshe, this week's, in Dorash Moshe, this week's Parsha, why is it that Ketores is at the time of Hadlokas and Hatovas Haneros? What's the significance? There's obviously something that the Torah is teaching us about the fact that we have the Ketores being offered up at the same time as the menorah is being having itself cleaned out and being prepared and being lit. So he says a very interesting and thought-provoking suggestion. Says Rav Moshe, the Ketores that was brought inside in Bachashai, as he puts it. Mishum she'afu dovash nase bachashai. Even though it was something that was done inside the Oel Moed, and no one necessarily would have known about it, it was done quietly, it was done without too much. There was nothing that would have indicated that no one would have necessarily even seen it or known about it. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that the smell of the Ketores was so potent that it could be smelt all the way to Yericho. And at the time that Klal Yisrael were being maktiv Ketores, no woman had to put on any perfume in Yerushalayim, because the beautiful aromas of the Ketores filled the air and affected everyone that was there. So the Ketores had a far-reaching effect, even though no one knew about it. So the menorah is something which is more public. It gives light, sheds light. even though the wicks were faced inwards, that we shouldn't think it's la'ir nitan, but lamaisa it does give light. And the ketores was something that even though it was quiet, it was silent, and there wasn't anything to be seen about it, its effects were felt far beyond. Says Rav Moshe, the limud from this is that when a person conducts himself up either derech haTorah with all one's koyach, because one realizes that that is the source of our lives, then even if that person isn't doyreish barabim, even if that person lives in quite a solitude life and lives closeted away, the fact that they are immersed in Torah will have a profound effect on people far, far away from where they may be. Purely because of the fact that they are immersed in the Torah. And that's the message of the Ketores. That the menorah, yeah, the menorah is also Torah, and Torah does give light, and it does act as a source of light. But we should know that that's not the only source of light. It's not the fact that not only someone who shows his light to the world and who gives his light to the world is the only one that can affect the world. It's tzaddik and a talmid chacham who sits closeted away, horving in his Torah. His Torah has an effect and a far-reaching effect, like the Ketores did, and that's why we makariv it at the same time as the menorah, to know that the effect that the Talmud Chacham who has sitting closeted away is an effect that can be very far-reaching, and it's not just the effect of the light of the menorah, but there's the effect of the Ketores as well. Okay. Let's have a look at a couple of ha'oras in the Megillah. We know the Megillah is the Megillah of Esther. It's the Megaleh, the Hester. It reveals to us so much of what is hidden. And that's so much of what the Yom Tov is about and why we get dressed up and we conceal things to know that it's all behind the mask. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to be found in every single way. There's two or three points I'd like to focus on with regards to the Megillah this year. The first is, interestingly, in Perek Hey, where the story is reaching its very serious moment, Esther Malka has been told by Mordechai HaTzadik that the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael rests on her shoulders, and in fact her life depends on her being Mashiach, being the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael over here. So she asks Mordechai HaTzadik to enlist Klal Yisrael's help. Everyone should fast for her. She's going to fast as well. And she goes into Achashverosh and she is granted the Chut Shel Chesed, that's Moshech Al Paneo. She's granted an audience with Achashverosh, and she invites him together with Haman to a Mishteh on the next day, on the first day of Pesach. And at that Mishteh, she now has everything set up for her. The plan has worked exactly as she had told Mordechai she intended to do. She hadn't been called to the Melech, but this was what she wanted. She had called him to a party, she had called him to a Mishteh, he's there, he's with Haman, he's intrigued, he wants to know why this has suddenly happened, why has he been invited to a Mishteh? Not only that, a Mishteh with Haman, and because of he is so inquisitive and desperate to find out, he asks Esther Amalka in Perek, hey, I'll prepare to give you everything. Everything that you want. The king asks, Achashverosh asks Esther. Here's our opportunity. She can save Klal Yisrael. The moment has arrived. Okay, now ask for it. It's beyond belief. She has the moment there, the moment ready for her to bring the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. And what does she say? We know machar, postponing something, procrastinating is not what we normally want to see happening. Paro procrastinated when he was asked, when do you want the Sfardea to be taken away? He said machar. And when he's ridiculed for doing that. He had an opportunity for Yeshua. Esther Malka's got an opportunity to save Klal Yisrael. What does she say? What's she doing? Klal Yisrael are waiting for the Yeshua. Here it is. You know that you're going to live till tomorrow. You know you're going to have this opportunity again tomorrow. Why is she letting the opportunity? The window of opportunity is there and she's letting it slip away. Says the Eben Ezra. An amazing thing. Then I'll tell you what my request is. Ulufi Dati, says the Eben Ezra, I think to say Sheikhro Esther Ledaber Bio Marisha Mishra Yain Bavur Sheloiro Aso Shum Ois Shechide Shashem Bavur Tanis Yisrael. She didn't see. She hadn't seen any sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that anything had been mischadish resulting from the fact that Klal Yisrael were sitting in Tanis and davening. On the second day, when Haman had just arrived after parading Mordechai through the streets, and he arrives in the state that he does, oh, then she sees, look, this is already, it's affecting something, something's happening. Chizuk Liba, then she had the Chizuk to go and tell the Melech about. What does that mean? She didn't see any sign from the fasting of Klal Yisrael. That means she knew Klal Yisrael were fasting and davening for their Yeshua. So she didn't see anything, she didn't see anything move. She understood over here that Klal Yisrael were in a predicament. In fact, Mordechai Yoda Eskola Shana, so it says at the beginning of Perek Dalet, Mordechai knew everything that had happened. What does it mean he knew everything that happened? He knew there was a decree, yeah. But Eskola Shana, so he knew everything, says Rashi from Chazal, yeah. He knew why the Gezerah had been made, and he knew that it had been, the Elyonim had agreed to it because of the Avoid of Nishtach Vuratzelem, and they were Nana Misuda Sachashverish. He knew about all of that. He knew. And he knew as well as Kosh and Asa. We see from the Psukim later on in Perek Dalet, he knew about the deal and the 10,000 silver talents that were the deal between Haman and Achashverosh. He knew about every detail. The Baal HaChaloyim had told him, and Malach had come and informed him about everything, and he relayed to Esther Hamalka everything that she needed to know about that. This is what the Gezerah is. This is why the Gezerah is there. The way that we can rectify it. So she says, well, if Haman came along and in his discussion he said, I've got a nation here who are fractioned and separated and there's no achdus between them. And Yeshnoi, they've gone to sleep and they're not keeping mitzvahs. We've got to wake them up. So she tells Mordechai Tzadik, go wake them up. Go make them daven. Go get them to gather together and collaborate as one with Tfilah. So she knew why they were had to do what they had to do. They had to become closer to each other and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she wasn't seeing any simon min ha-shomayim. Simonim had been sent. If the Malach came and told Mordechai what's going on and why it's happened, the purpose of that was only to shake Klal Yisrael and tell them to get back. So she was waiting to see, because a Yeshua doesn't happen just like that. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a tzara, it's a tzara which is meant to make us work towards a Yeshua. And the Yeshua doesn't happen just like that. At the end of Parashat Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he complained.
She knew that the next day there would be Yeshua.
She didn't know yet. She didn't know when it was going to come.
I'm saying she said, Machor.
With the Tfilah. That's a Tfilah. That's all. Eser Kidva HaMelech. It's also talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was talking to Hashem at the same time. So, at the end of Parashat Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Me'oz Bosi El Paro, it's only become worse. Lo Mahari Oysa Lo Mazer. The Rabbeinu Shalom responds to Moshe Rabbeinu and says to him, Moshe, that was not the one you should have been asking on the Dargah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You're asking for the Yeshua to be rushed faster than it needs to be. Klal Yisrael are in the predicament they are for a reason. The Yeshua is about to come. That's why the Shibud has got more, that's got stronger and more severe. But it's not yet time, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you were asking for it to be rushed. Atos Sireh, now you'll see Eis Asher Sel Paro Zograshi. Ato sire esa you will see now osile paritire veloy ha osile malchi shiva umos kshavim loretz, but you will not be zeichet to see what's going to happen to the kings, the 32 kings of Eretz Canaan, when I go in and I'm going to break take Klal Yisrael into that. Why says Reb Shimon Schwab that when a Yeshua is going to come, when Klal Yisrael are going to go into Eretz Yisrael and they're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, it's going to happen like the pasuk says in Parashat Mishpatim, Ma'at Ma'at Agorshenu Miponecho. It's going to happen little bit by little bit, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. We get closer and it's more of a Yeshua, and we get more close with the more of a Yeshua, and we become closer and there's more of a Yeshua. But it's going to happen slowly, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you've asked for it to be rushed, you won't be able to be present when it has to be slow. Says Esther Amalka to the Melech, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Achashverosh, I'm going to ask my Sheila and my Bakasha tomorrow. Now's not yet the time of the Gula. I'm seeing and feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't yet seen that we are close enough to each other and to Him. And therefore, Mochar, after we've got a little bit closer, we need a little bit more and a little bit more. Because Reitza Hashem Esi Yireyov, Es HaMeyachalim L'chastoy, those who are Meyachil for His Chesed. Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak V'yam Eitzlibecho, Yeshua may not be there yet. V'kaveh El Hashem. Chazak v'yam yisibecho, Mekabe al Hashem, continue to get closer and to be Mekabe al Hashem. That's how the Yeshua happens.
I thought the reason why she postponed it was to rope him in.
Oh, so there are a few pshatim. There is another pshat, which was that she exploited the weakness of a tyrant and a dictator who is always afraid of his inner circle rebelling against him and leading a revolt. And so she exploited that weakness that he had by calling Haman Dafka to a mishta with her, and that he should suddenly think, and that's why he thinks, well, one second, are my closest cohort all okay with me? Do I owe anyone a favor? And that's why he asked the Sefer Zichronis to be brought to check, etc., etc. And we know that was all prepared 12 years earlier, 10 years earlier, when Mordechai Tzadik heard Big Samba Seresh planning, collaborating, and he tells Achashverosh, and it's got found out, and it's true, and he doesn't get paid for it. He doesn't get any recognition for it at all. He just gets written in the Sefer HaZichronos. It's astounding. Someone's just saved the king's life. Someone who's close as well. He's the queen. He's got through the queen that came, and he gets no recognition. It's like, Shbaruch Hu makdim lefura lemakor. I saw an amazing shtickle of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz today. He says, isn't it fascinating, he's reading the Sefer Yarish Dvash Chedek Aleph and Drush Gimel, isn't it fascinating that the Yeshua, when we read the Megillah, it seems to be, and at that time there was no one who even noticed that this was part of the master plan, that the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael begins at the very Suda that the Gezerah is because of. They were Nehneh Misudas Achashverosh. That's one of the reasons that the Gemara says that the Gezerah came against them. Nishtachu L'Tzalem and Nehneh Misudas Achashverosh. At that very Misudas Achashverosh, the refuah begins, because Vashti gets killed, which paves the way for Esther to become the queen, which paves the way for the Yeshua to come. So how does that work? At that time, when they're doing what they're not meant to be doing, when the Gezerah comes, the refuah has been created.
And there was no reason for her to die.
Yeah, it's crazy that he then wants to kill her. This whole, it was all the advice of Haman, who had some other ulterior motive because he was being battered at home. What's going on? Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, it's unbelievable. He says that the Pasuk also tells us exactly how many days each Mishteh was for. He says, and let's make a cheshbon. He says, there were certain kings like Koresh, who preceded Achashverosh, who counted their reign from Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Hashanah Melachim, they all said they counted their reign from Chodesh Nisan. He said, Achashverosh did the same. And if you count, the first Mishteh went from Vishnah Shalosh Lamalchai, 180 days. 180 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan brings you to Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia. Yeah. And then he made a Mishteh Shivas Yomin. L'chol ha'om ha'nimtzim b'shushan abira. Who does it mean, l'chol ha'om? He said, l'animtzim b'shushan abira. L'chol ha'om. Yeah, says the Targum, let's look at the Targum. He made this specifically for the Jews, to lure the Jews in, to get them into his Mishteh, so they should have no zchus to have the Geula. That's what he did it for. And they were there for the Mishteh Shivas Yomin. That means, Dalud, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yom Kippur. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, Yom Kippur, there wasn't a single Jew in that Mishnah. Yom Kippur, they're not going to go. Aseres Yom Kippur, maybe. But Yom Kippur, no one's going to be eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. There's no yid. And on the last day of that Mishnah, Klal Yisrael were fasting. Klal Yisrael were doing tshuva. Afilu chota Yisrael hu. Every yid in the end of the day is a yid. They may have spent Aseres Yom Kippur at that Mishnah of Achashverosh. Abba came Yom Kippur, and they were in this early tshuva. And what happened on that day? That's when he got into his drunken stupor, that's when he asked for his Vashti to be called, that's when he went, she didn't come, and she defied his decree, and this whole thing blew out of proportion, he goes and he kills her. Because it was on Yom Kippur. It's unbelievable, they fluffed the whole Aseres Yom Kippur. They sat at that Suda, which was had Kalim from the base, Amikdosh. Over there, they had a hero tshuva on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, no one was there. So it's unbelievable. And that's where the Yeshua began. The Yeshua began that no one, and Purim is the corresponding day to Yom Kippur, where on Yom Kippur we can do tshuva mitoich yira, on Purim we do it mitoich simcha. And we can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it doesn't matter who it is, because when we drink the wine takes away all You know, and sometimes you may even notice that there are certain people who, as they're drinking the wine, their darga with the wine and their darga go down and down. But they will hit a point when they will connect with their pintali, where they would really with their neshama. It's just going through all the layers and the layers and the layers, and then they'll get to where their neshama is. Because afa pishachoto Yisraelu, a yid is a yid, and the Yeshua began on that Yom Kippur at that whilst that mishnah was going on. At that point, a yid remembered, and that's where the Yeshua began. I want to share with you my favorite part of the Purim story. You know, everyone has their favorite part of each story, or the story of Yosef and his brothers as it reaches the crescendo. Vayigash Elov Yehuda, and Yehuda crushes the brick, and Menashe does the same. It's a very exciting part of the story. The Gemara and the Medrash each complement each other without quoting what's from which will hopefully Be'ez Hashem explain this story as it unfolds. Mordechai HaTzadik had gathered together in the main shul of Shushan 22,000 tinoikos shel Beis Ravam. 22,000 children. 22,000 children were gathered together with Mordechai HaTzadik in the main shul. Just picture that to yourselves. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But close your eyes and think, the shul must have been massive. The main shul of Shushan. Mordechai HaTzadik, the Gadol HaDor, the Manig HaDor, gathers together, tells all of the Yidden, you've got to fast now for 3 days. Yudalet Tesvav Tezayin Nisan, we're going to fast. And
it's like a stadium of people.
Yeah, huge, huge. With all these children in. Massive. One of these huge, huge Bate Knesios. And everyone's fasting. And all the Tinokis Shabbos Rabban are together with Mordechai HaTzadik. Haman HaRasha arrives, Achashverosh. Achashverosh asks him, what should I do for someone who I want to honor? He tells him the whole story. He says, go and do that in Mordechai Yehudi. And Haman goes to look for Mordechai HaTzadik. Now, on Yud Gimel, after Haman had drawn his lots and made his deal with Achashverosh, Hados nitna b'Shushan Abira. They got sent out to the rest of the world. But in Shushan, they already heard about it on that day. So any known or closet anti-Semite was already preparing himself and licking his lips and waiting and already using the opportunity to begin. This is what we're going to be doing. It's going to be in 13 months, in 12 months time, 11 months time, but oh. People were petrified, they were afraid, and Haman could do anything. The power was at his hands to do anything that he wanted. And people come running into the shul. They say, Mordechai, Haman's on his way here to get you. They were Yidden, they heard. So they heard that he was coming. So they ran in, Mordechai, Haman's on his way to get you. So Mordechai Tzadik turns to the children, he says, he must be coming to kill me. The sequence of events is leading to that. He's made his decree, so now he's coming after the leader of Klal Yisrael. He must be coming to him. All of you run away. Run away, at least scatter around the city. Save your lives. And they turn to Mordechai HaTzadik and they say, we've been sat here for the last 2 and a bit days in sackcloth and in ashes, and we've been learning together with you, and we're going to die together with you. We're not leaving. So Mordechai HaTzadik says to him, if that's the case, then let us do that from Tefillah, and let's daven together. So say Chazal, Mordechai HaTzadik and all the children began to daven. And the children finished their tefillah before Mordechai finished his tefillah. So picture the scene. Mordechai HaTzadik is stood at the front of the shul, facing Mizrach, and davening. And all the children are davening with him. And they finish before he finishes. And what do? They sit down back in the Afer, and they start to do chazara with each other. They start to revise what they've been taught by Mordechai HaTzadik. Says the Medrash, they've been taught about the korban of that day, of the second day, Pesach, korban ha'omer, which would be brought every year in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would be learning about that Mehera Yivane HaMikdash, and Be'ez HaShem, at the moment there's an Issa Chodosh, and that's because there's normally a korban that's brought, which is Mati Dechodosh, and we're going to, and they're learning exactly, Klal Yisrael would go down to Moitza, and they would cut the barley, and they would bring it back up, and it would be dried, and it would be, you know, it would be exactly until it would be crushed, and then it would, until you took the koimetz and you brought the korban ha'omer. And Haman walks in, and he opens these big doors to the Beis HaKnesses. And what does he see inside there? He sees 11,000 chavrusas, 22,000 Jewish kids sitting and there's some electrifying noise reverberating around this Beis HaMedrash, and he sees at the front, Mordechai HaTzadik davening, facing the front. And they're all behind him, and there's something going on. And he's intrigued. Well, what is this? With the vibrance of children learning Torah. So he asks the first group who are there, what are you doing? So they say, we're chazaring, we're revising what Mordechai HaTzadik's just taught us. What has he taught you? And they explain to him, a korban. He said, what was this korban? What do you mean? Well, we used to have a Beis HaMikdash. So why are you learning about it now? Because we're going to have one again. And we're going to bring it again. And Haman's the realization of, what is Mordechai HaTzadik doing here? Oblivion is staring Klal Yisrael in the face. They know I've got the power to do what I want. They obviously assumed that I was on the way to kill him. Haman was no fool. They've been fasting for 3 days because they know that I am going to annihilate them. And what's Mordechai HaTzadik doing? He's investing in the next doyr. He's investing in the future of Klal Yisrael and teaching them about a korban that they're going to bring again in their Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable. You know, Chazal tell us that Haman was zoicha, mibnei bonov shel Haman harosha limdu Torah bibnei brat. Chazal tell us, Haman harosha had an enikel who taught Torah in Bnei Brak. It's Gemara in Gittin. Mibnei bonov shel Haman harosha limdu Torah bibnei brat. How was he zoicha to that? How was Haman harosha zoicha that he should have an enikel teaching Torah in Bnei Brak? Who was this? Who was this? Mibnei Bonov Shel Haman HaRasha. Who was he? So Chazal tell us before we find out who he was, how was Haman HaRasha Zeicha to have that? To have someone teaching Torah in Bnei Brak? To have an Enochel teaching Torah? And first of all, who was this Enochel? So the Chazal tell us, the Ben Ishchai brings it from the Arizal. This Enochel of Haman HaRasha was someone called Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas. Who was Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas? There's a Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Ches, which explains the pasuk that the Navi says, "Matzdike harabim kakoychovim leilam void." There are people who are matzdik, enable Klal Yisrael to do tzidkus, and they are kakoychovim leilam void. Different descriptions of what that means, but it's a tremendous achus. The Gemara says there's two types of people that refers to. Matzdiki Arabim, the first is Gaboi Tzedakah. They are Matzdiki Arabim, they encourage people to give Tzedakah. Kakachavim Leilam Voyed, that's a tremendous schus. The second one is Melamdi Tinoikis Shalbeis Rabban. Someone who has the schus to teach kids Torah. They are Matzdiki Arabim, Kakachavim Leilam Voyed. Says the Gemara, who's the archetype? Melamdi Tinoikis Shalbeis Rabban. Who's the example that we're going to write down for posterity in Chazal? He is the example of what a Melamdi Tinoikis Shalbeis Rabban is meant to be. Do you know who it was? It was someone called Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was Mipnei Bonov Shel Haman HaRasha. He is the Spitz Melamdi Tinoikis Shalbeis Rabban. How was Haman HaRasha doing? Haman HaRasha is doing it to have an enikel who is Mimatzdika Rabbi? What is chus that is? Mehevel, the whole world stands Mehevel Tinoikis Shalbeis Rabban, and this person facilitated it. The Gemara says that for 13 years he didn't tend to his gardens and to his estate because Da'atoy Alon, he was busy with his Talmidim. That is the example. And Haman HaRasha is zoicha to that. So I saw in a sefer called Chazon Lamoed, and Reb Chaim Zaitchik as well says, Haman HaRasha had a hirhur tshuva. And he was makir in three things. He was makir in the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was makir in the koyach of Torah, and he was makir in the koyach of the Beis HaMikdash. Where and when? I'd like to suggest that at that moment, when he walked into the Beis HaKnesses, and he saw what he saw, and he heard from those children what they were doing, he realized, his Do'a Eibishter, there's Klal Yisrael, there's Torah, and there's a Beis HaMikdash. And Kudshom Bricho, V'Yiraisa, V'Yisrael, and their Beis HaMikdash, and their children, and their future, Chadhu. Because Klal Netzach Yisrael Lo Yeshake, Klal Yisrael is never going to cease to exist. And when they think they are going to torment us, and when they think that they're going to annihilate us, and when they think they're going to stop us giving over our Messiah to our children, at that point we say, what do we invest in? When they think that there's going to be none left of us, we invest in our children. And what do you invest in teaching them about? About the future of Klal Yisrael. About a korban that's going to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash next year. And Haman said to the children, says the Medrash, he told the children, arise from your ashes, because your Omer has cancelled out my 10,000 silver talents. That's a hero tshuva. He may have hated Klal Yisrael, he may have hated Mordechai HaTzadik, but he was able to say to those children, arise from your ashes, because your Korban HaOmer, your Torah, and your Beis HaMikdash has cancelled out my 10,000 silver talents, which he wanted to use, Chazal say, to cancel out the Shkolim, the Chatzi Shkolim that we gave, which was representing our Achdus, and he saw that it wasn't Achdus, so he wanted to bring that to cancel out. He saw here that Klal Yisrael were one and together and believing in our future and knowing how to invest in our future. Purim is a time where Klal Yisrael get together and we remember these tremendous, tremendous things that happened to Klal Yisrael. The unbelievable Ashkocha Protis. At that Suda, at that Suda, remember, we've got to remember that for ourselves, every person we see on Purim, Af Pi Shechota Yisraelu, and about ourselves as well, Af Pi Shechota Yisraelu. They spent our service, he made tshuva eating at Sudas HaShverosh. Came Yom Kippur, it's amazing, it was Yom Kippur. The day that's linked to Purim. It was Yom Kippur, that year Yom Kippur, that they start to do their tshuva. It wasn't Nishlam, they needed another sheikh half a year later. In Pesach time they get that sheikh from Haman, who tells them that it's going to be in another 11 months, they're going to get killed. So what do? They get together and they realize, Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther realize, what do Klal Yisrael need to do? They need to daven. They need to be ba'achdus. They need to be investing in the future of Klal Yisrael. When we get together every Purim, that is what we're doing. We're getting together to commemorate that, but not just to commemorate it, we relive that experience. Chazal tell us, and the Mefarshim will tell us, and Rav Dessler says, the year is like a circular train track, which has various stations that we revisit every year. And there's that hashpa in the world, the spiritual energy that's in the world every Purim, for us to relive that experience. To relive the experience of being able to daven for Yeshua, and experiencing that Yeshua. To relive that experience for investing in our children, and that can come in a multitude of different ways. Learning Torah with our children, supporting the moses that our children go to. That's what Purim is about. It's about the future of our doiras, the future of our nation, and we've got to invest in it. It's an opportunity that we have, and that way we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see that you have the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us, is guiding us, is showing us the way, and we understand the messages that that's sending to us. Be'ez HaShem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Dishmaya, that this Purim, we should be able to be Mesameach with ourselves, with our families, with Klal Yisrael. We should be able to invest in ourselves, in our future, in the children of Klal Yisrael, in the Torah of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakeh us, that for this Pesach, we should have our Beis HaMikdash back, and we should be able to go and eat min hazvachim and min hapsachim, and be able to be zoicha to bring our children on Kegel Moshiach Tzidkenu, Meir Yameinu, Amen.